Chapter 38. Sunday, 11:58 p.m.
Well, you did it,
Burrow said as the medics forced Lucy away from Ashley.
Against all odds, you saved her.
At what cost? Lucy couldn't help but wonder, watching a paramedic jab a wickedly large needle into Ashley's arm, starting an IV. Ashley didn't flinch, her expression wooden, staring up at nothing.
We found Fletcher's Glock. You said he took yours. You got backup?
Her baby Glock was in her car, back at the federal building. She hefted her purse, felt the weight of the .32.
I'm good. The ambulance driver said she was shooting at you when they pulled in. Said Fletcher didn't even have a gun.
They're mistaken.
And you're a piss-poor liar, Guardino.
Lucy heard the undercurrent of anger, knew he was still mad at her for using Ames as bait. Tough. She wasn't about to feel sorry for the reporter who'd come out of all this with an exclusive ratings grabber of a story. Ames really going to try to press charges? He shrugged one shoulder, his gaze darting past the ambulance to where Ames and her cameraman were eagerly interviewing one of the SWAT team members.
Not unless it gets her a bigger story. She will expect reimbursement for damages.
Damages? What the hell? You guys found the bullet in the dirt. Ashley wasn't even aiming for her.
Silk blouse, Donna Karen suit, and one pair of Manolo Blahniks. She thinks $6,000 should cover it.
$6,000? For shoes? If she thinks for 1 second... Lucy stopped. Started laughing instead. Let her try. What do I care? I'm probably out of a job anyway.
No way. You're the hero. You saved Ashley.
She shook her head, followed the medics carrying Ashley on their stretcher across the lot to the ambulance. Not me, Burroughs. You. As far as the world knows, I wasn't even here tonight. She jerked her head at Ames. Go. Be a hero. I hear it's a great way to get laid. She climbed into the ambulance with Ashley. He stood watching, and she was surprised to see that instead of the wolfish grin she'd come to expect from him, he was frowning and scratching at his head, as if he was actually thinking twice about his involvement with Ames.
Maybe there's hope after all, she muttered as the medic slammed the door.
She reached for Ashley's hand, the one without the IV, and absently stroked it. Ashley's fingernails were broken and torn, her hands grimy with sweat, fingers cold. Tiny bite marks, some just red, others breaking her skin, zigzagged across every inch of exposed flesh. Christ almighty! The medics looked away at the sight of the snake bites and breathed out. Lucy wasn't sure if it was a prayer or a curse. She raised Ashley's hand in both of hers and blew on it, rubbing it warm again, just like when Megan came in from playing soccer in the rain. You're going to be all right, Ashley. Ashley didn't move, except maybe, just maybe, her breathing smoothed out a bit, and her fingers might have curled a bit in Lucy's grasp. Lucy kept hold of Ashley's hand in one of hers and used the other to smooth out her matted hair. To her surprise, tears seeped from Ashley's eyes. No sobs or sounds, just tears streaming as if a dam had broken. Please, Ashley whispered, still not making eye contact with Lucy. I'm not Ashley. I'm not the girl you're looking for. Please let me go. Don't take me back.
Back where, Ashley?
Back to the black place. Lucy thought about the barn, with its stench of death and living reptilian implements of terror. Back to the barn?
Don't worry, you're not going back there. Never again.
Ashley was shaking her head, pulling away in terror. I can't go. He promised I'd be safe with him. Take me to Jimmy. Take me back to Jimmy. She pitched forward, almost tearing her IV out before Lucy and the medic could restrain her. She thrashed and fought, gnashing her teeth at them like an animal, snarling and spitting. The medic gave her something in her IV, and then she was quiet, her eyes drifting shut.
"You okay?" he asked, handing Lucy a gauze pad to blot spittle away.
"She didn't bite you, did she?"
"No, I'm fine."
"Poor kid's nuts. That whack job did a real number on her. After everything she's been through, she'll never be the same again."
Lucy kept hold of Ashley's hand, had to look away and blink back tears of her own. Maybe she'd been too late. Maybe she'd been too late. Maybe she hadn't saved anyone after all.
Burroughs wrapped up the little details. Documentation, securing Guardino's vehicle, coordinating resources, evidence recovery. Not that there was much, except a bullet, the revolver, and Fletcher's Glock, as well as making nice to the brass and the SWAT guys. All the glamorous jobs of police work that Hollywood always conveniently ignored. He was about ready to take off, see if Guardino had been able to get anything from Ashley that would help them locate Fletcher, when Cindy sidled up to him, sans cameraman. She'd gone for a sprightly femjep look for her story, popping most of the buttons off her blouse, pulled it halfway out from her skirt, revealing the Kevlar vest she wore beneath. Of course, her makeup and hair looked camera-ready perfect. One could only sacrifice so much for one's art, he supposed.
"I wanted to return your vest," she said, eyes lowered in an uncharacteristically demure expression as she slipped free of her suit jacket. "And thank you for rushing to save my life."
"You weren't in danger. Not really," he said, folding his hands into determined fists to keep them from helping her out of her clothing. "No way she could have missed from that distance if she was really aiming at you."
She looked up demurely, bit her lower lip as if holding back tears, and waited a beat, expecting more from him. "Still, you couldn't know that. Thanks, Burroughs."
Teasing her blouse the rest of the way from her skirt, she finished unbuttoning it and slid free from its silky embrace, handing it to Burroughs.
"Help me with these straps?"
Her scent assaulted him, trapping him despite his best intentions. He felt his body respond to her, just as it always did. Traitor. He ripped the Velcro swaths open with more force than he needed, tugging her closer to him. She squirmed out of the Kevlar, left him holding the bulletproof vest in one hand, her blouse in the other. And she stood between them, her breasts barely contained by her lacy demi-bra, pressing her body up against his.
"How can I thank you properly?"
Her pelvis ground into his, heat shooting straight to his groin. He wasn't sure who he hated more, him or her.
"What do you want, Cindy?"
She traced her fingers over his shirt, eyes downcast as if she had no ulterior motives and had to seriously consider his question. The last SWAT van pulled away, leaving just the two of them alone in the darkness.
"My entire future has changed tonight, thanks to you.
My manager says by morning, I'll be on the fast track to a permanent network assignment, either New York or D.C.
"So maybe you should go home and pack your bags."
His voice was breathy, as if all the blood had abandoned his lungs and fled south. Her face twisted into a pout.
"You don't mean that. You'll miss me, won't you, Burroughs?"
Her hands dropped below his belt, squeezed. He choked back a groan. He wasn't giving in. Wasn't going to be used. Not again.
"We're alone now. I could do you right here, in the place where I almost died, and you saved me."
She undid his belt, reached for his fly.
"You'd like that, wouldn't you, Burroughs? My hero."
He blinked hard, trying not to give in to desire. She sweetened the pot, sinking to her knees as she unzipped him.
"It's your wildest fantasy come true, isn't it? Me kneeling in the dirt, letting you do anything you want to me."
Her fingers teased him. "Christ!" He dropped the vest and her shirt, took her hands in his, twisting them away from his growing erection. "You want me to use my mouth instead?" she asked, looking up at him, shaking her hair back from her face, grinning wide. It took him two breaths to clear his mind. "What do you want, Cindy?" "My manager says if I can get an exclusive of Fletcher's capture or an interview with him, it would double my signing bonus with the network. We're talking seven figures here, Burroughs. You'd do that for me, wouldn't you?" She licked her lips, then leaned her head forward, mouth wide open.
"No."
He stepped back, as far away from her as he could, releasing her hands to fumble his fly closed again.
"Fool," the primitive part of his brain screamed, the part that drove him back to her bed time and again.
Arching her head up, her breasts not quite popping free of their restraints, she knelt on her hands and knees.
"You sure?"
"Last chance. You know how much you'll love it. I need to be punished for driving your kids away from you, for poisoning your marriage." Her pout was marred by the greedy gleam in her eye. "Don't you want to punish me, Burroughs? Give me what I deserve? Treat me like the whore in the dirt that I am? Don't you want to feel like a hero? Like a real man?"
"Just go away. Leave me alone."
She was the one on her knees, but he was the one begging. He found his car keys in his pocket, unlocked the Impala, and dropped into the driver's seat before he could change his mind. As he spun out of the parking lot, he could see her in his rearview mirror, still kneeling on the ground, laughing.